How about that? When's the last time you obeyed the scriptures and blew your cool? I see three important things in these verses. The first is simple and clear. Anger is a God-given emotion. There's something inhuman about a person who never gets angry. He has a strange makeup. We would be quick to say that one who does not show compassion really does not have a heart, and one who doesn't love, well, there's something terribly wrong with him. These emotions are God-given, and he says to express them. The same is true of anger. God says, be angry. The second observation goes right along with the first. Anger is not necessarily sinful. God says, be angry, and yet do not sin. Not every expression of anger is wrong. It's as though I were to say to one of my children, now when you go out tonight, enjoy yourself. Really have a good time, but don't misuse your humor. Or it's like the Lord when he says, I want you to love, but don't love the world. Don't even love the things of the world. I want you to love, but restrict that love to certain things. This is the same thought. Be angry, but don't carry that anger to the point where it becomes sin. Some of you may be questioning whether or not it is ever right to be angry. Did you know that in the Old Testament, the anger of the Lord is mentioned no less than 18 times? And in the New Testament, we have some classic examples of Jesus' anger. When those money changers were in the temple, he didn't walk in and say, now listen, guys, I don't want to offend you, but what you are doing isn't very good. Rather, he plaited together a whip of thongs and physically drove them off the temple. This was an expression of real indignation. He got mad. Jesus never spoke more angrily or forthrightly to anyone than he did to the religious hypocrites in Matthew 23, where in one case after another he said, woe to you. He even called them whitewashed tombs and serpents. There are times when anger is very appropriate. I'll say more about that later. Third, anger must have safeguards. Notice the two safeguards Paul gave us right after in this passage. Safeguard number one, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't prolong anger into the night. In Paul's day, the setting of the sun was the closing of the day and the beginning of the next. By the end of the day, make sure your anger problem is solved. I believe this is to be taken very literally. We practice this in our home. Perhaps you do in yours. If there have been times of disagreement or anger throughout the day, clear them up by evening. When you lay your head on your pillow, make sure those feelings of anger have been resolved. Be certain that there is forgiveness, a clearing out of that conscience. Husbands and wives, don't go to sleep back to back. Don't allow yourself the luxury of feeling you can take care of it later on. Every once in a while, a Christian brother or sister tells me of an experience when they flew off the handle. They were in the wrong. And they will say something like, you know, as I turned in that night, things just didn't settle right. Maybe you've had that experience. I certainly have. Then they say, I had to get up, turn the light on, and make a phone call, or get dressed, or go to this person's house and talk with them face to face to clear it up. It's a real encouragement to hear things like that. That's what Paul was saying. Don't let sin come in by prolonging your anger. There are probably some scars in your life that are there because you didn't solve anger when it occurred. You know, 99% of all problems never solve themselves. Never. They just stay on like a burr in the saddle until a sore is formed and you become diseased. Safeguard number two, do not give the devil an opportunity. That means just what it says. Don't allow your anger to be expressed in such a way that you are weakened and the devil reproduces his character through you. You see, Jesus Christ loves to reproduce his character through us. When we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, then the character of Christ flows freely. His love, his gentleness, his compassion, his joy, his concern for others. But the devil is a master of counterfeit, and when we are given over to the things of Satan, he aims to make us behave like him. That's Paul's whole point. Don't let anger get hold of you and weaken you so that other areas of sin or even satanic involvement can come into your life. Keep that in mind if you are prone to get angry. Sustained, uncontrolled anger offers the enemy of our souls an open door. It's serious. Let's face it, we're all made up differently. Some of us are more emotional than others. Some have much more trouble controlling anger than others. You know how you are made, what your areas of weakness are, and when you sense that it's getting to the point where it's beyond your control, you know the Lord is not in it. Don't give the devil an opportunity. When is anger justified? When can we actually say it is right to be angry? That's an important question.